I want to start in verse 44. And I want to talk to you tonight about the kingdom of God. You know, we don't use the word kingdom much anymore. You know, you have the United Arab Emirates, the kingdom. Oh, here's my glasses. Bless God, I'm so blind I can't find my glasses. They were in my front pocket. Wow, time around my neck. You just don't use the word kingdom a lot anymore. But when Jesus said, he started talking about the kingdom of God. You find it two different ways it's written, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Okay? But he's talking about the same thing. He's talking about a principle, a setup, an established kingdom that has laws and rules and principles within it. Y'all with me? There's laws in the United States that don't apply when you go outside of the country. There's laws outside of the country that don't apply when you're in the country. Y'all with me? I was looking into becoming a dual citizen with Guatemala. Because I'm in and out of there so much, I was thinking maybe I'd have an advantage of being a citizen of Guatemala. And I've got, you know, it could be done relatively easy. And then I was talking to some of the lawyers and some of the people about it, you know, and I'm not so sure that it's better off just to just leave it alone and just be American. Because the laws are different for an American in Guatemala or a Guatemalan citizen. There's certain things they can do, but there's certain things that I have favor over because I'm an American. So, you know, I was looking into all of that, trying to see it, but I'm talking about the kingdom of God. You're citizens of the kingdom of God. You're citizens in the kingdom of God, but living in earth or on earth. You with me? But you're a citizen of the kingdom of God. You got a passport that says heaven on it. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Amen? Your passport says heaven. So if you're in heaven, if you're a king, if you're a part of the kingdom of heaven, that means there's rules that apply to you, even though you're in a foreign land. Are y'all hearing me here? There's certain things that can't be done to an American citizen on foreign soil. There's certain things that can't be done to you because you are a citizen of heaven and you're on foreign soil when you're here on earth. And the more you begin to change your thinking and begin to think like the kingdom of heaven wants you to think, then the more times you're not going to be fooled when this world system and this world thinking wants to come upon you and say, well, it's going to go this way or that way. Hello? And it takes knowing, first of all, what your citizens' rights are of heaven. If you don't know what your rights are, what your privilege is as a citizen of heaven, then how can you stand for your rights? So Jesus goes there and he says in verse 44, he's trying to get everybody to understand what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and he hid for joy over it because he sells all that he has and he buys a field. Why didn't he just steal it? Why? Well, if he stole it, there would always be a sense of guilt or a sense of, you know, that it really did belong to somebody else. He had to go earn it. Y'all with me? The kingdom of heaven comes with a price. Hello? The price that started it all out was the price of Jesus giving his life for you. But in order to exact all the promises of the kingdom of heaven into your life, then you had to give your life to the kingdom of heaven or to Jesus. Hello? He couldn't just take it. It was going to cost him something. Listen to me. I'm glad that for me to be a member of the kingdom of heaven, it cost me everything. I don't regret it one bit. I don't want anything that the world's got. I'm just passing through. Oh, I enjoy the comforts. I enjoy the things, the nice things of life. Yeah, riding the Harley. I mean, bless God. Right? Ice cream. Donuts. Sweet baby Jesus. I ate the best ice cream in Guatemala the other day I'd ever touched my lips. I said, my God, this is from heaven. It's nectar from heaven. This is not ice cream. I don't know what it was. It was the most fantastic taste in my mouth that I've ever had. Then I got the coffee, and I started mixing the coffee and the ice cream together, and everybody was laughing at me because I had my own little brew going up over here. I said, ah, mesero, dame otro café, otro, rápido. And I got another cup of coffee, and I was mixing coffee and ice cream and drinking and eating. Man, I was having the greatest time of my life. Just like a taste explosion. I'm sorry y'all weren't there to enjoy it. It was glorious. And the whole time I'm eating, I'm thinking, well, this is this good here. Whoo, I can't even imagine what it's like in my mansion in heaven. Man, I'm hungry. Wish I had some ice cream. 45 says, and the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking a beautiful pearls. Merchant seeking beautiful pearls. Who when he had found one pearl, everybody say one pearl. He was seeking multiple pearls, right? But he found one of great price. And he went and sold all that he had and he bought it. Let me ask you a question. You know, how do I say this? Are you so impressed with Jesus that you'd sell out everything for him? Isn't that what he's saying here? You're so impressed with the pearl of Jesus. You're so impressed with who Jesus is. You're so impressed with the principles of the kingdom. You're so impressed with his love that he shows for you every time we mess up and he continues to love us. His unfailing love pouring out in his Holy Spirit, wanting to bless us and encourage us and strengthen us and guide us and lead us. And he just wants to just bless us and bless us and bless us, even though we mess up and we mess up and we mess up. And he still wants to bless us and he blesses us. And you're so impressed with the principles of the kingdom of God. You say, man, I'll sell all that I have. That's what I want. There's story after story of immigrant who just wanted to make it to America. Because it was just, they sold all that they had and they came. Right? Believing for the better. But are we willing to sell out all that we have, all the principles, all the stupidity, all the ridiculousness of our life, all the doubt, all the unbelief, all the flesh, all the carnality of life, all the pride, all the jealousies, all the wants and desires, and throw it all down and say, I just want you, Jesus. I'll sell out everything I got for you. I'm telling you, when you're in that position in life, the kingdom of heaven's principles begin to work so amazingly in your life. So abundantly in your life that's when the Bible says that the blessings of God begin to chase you down and jump on you. Most Christians are chasing the promises of God. We've gotten ourselves into such a state where we want to confess and believe and we're going to do all these things and we're going to make those promises come into our life. When the Bible says the promise is supposed to chase you down and jump on you. That's what the Old Testament principle was. The blessings of God chase you down and jump on you. You don't have to go chasing them down. They're chasing you down. Everywhere you turn, you're blessed. Everywhere you turn, you're blessed. So amazing that everywhere you'd go, the blessings want to jump on you because you have so sold out for the kingdom. So just sold out for the kingdom. You're not chasing the kingdom. The kingdom's chasing you.
You know, there's a story at the bottom here. Let's skip down. I want to read it, and then I want to come back up to where we're at. Start in verse 53. It says, "And it came to pass, and Jesus had finished these parables." He's telling them all these great parables. He says, "He departed from there, and he had come to his own country, taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, 'Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is it not his mother? Is his mother called Mary, and his brothers James and Joseph, Simon and Judas? And his sisters are not all them with us? And when did this man get all these things?'" So they were offended at him. Look back up in verse 54. It says, "He taught them in their synagogue, and they were astonished and said, 'Where did this man get this wisdom?'" In other words, what Jesus was saying to them was so astonishing them, they were like, "Wow, where did he get this wisdom?" And by the end of their conversation, they're mad at Jesus, offended with him. They say, "We get out of here." It says, "So they were offended at him, and Jesus said, 'A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own household.' Now, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." In other words, those people stopped the revival from happening that could have happened, or stopped the kingdom of God and the principles of the kingdom of heaven operating in the synagogue that day because of their unbelief, because they were astonished at what Jesus said. They were blown away by his whatever he said. Right? They said that. They admitted to that. But then they said, "Well, who is this guy?" And they got offended. And because they got offended, the principles of the kingdom of God didn't work in their life. They missed everything. Jesus said, "Man, I can't do any mighty works here because there's no faith to operate in here. There's no faith." The first principle you have to understand about the kingdom of heaven gets turned on in your life when faith is present. But if there's no faith present, there's no kingdom operating. I mean, wow, we have to change our thinking to understand that we think that Jesus, he went everywhere that he went, he just did miracles and signs and wonders. Now, the Bible says he did go places, he did do miracles, signs and wonders, right? But in those places he was doing miracles, signs and wonders, people run up to him and said, "Lord, if it's possible, can you heal me?" But in this place, the Son of God was stopped cold in his tracks because of a church full of unbelief. What do you think he could do about it? Do you see how important faith is in the operation of the kingdom of heaven? To getting the kingdom of heaven to operate over a town, a city, a church, it's got to have faith. People have got to have faith. Where there's no faith, it's not going to operate. I don't care if Jesus himself, the very Son of God, is standing in the midst. If there's no faith, it ain't going to work. I don't care an angel come down with a 12-foot sword unless they saw the angel and said, "We believe." And ain't nothing going to happen. Because it's the faith of our life that triggers the kingdom's operation within our lives. Now, I believe sometimes the kingdom doesn't operate in our lives, not only because of the lack of faith in our lives, but because we don't position ourselves for the kingdom to operate. You don't necessarily have to be in doubt and unbelief, but you can be in a position of doubt and unbelief. Y'all with me? You can put yourself in a position of doubt and unbelief by the people you hang with, the way you act, the things you're doing. You don't have to speak it out of your mouth, but what you're doing and your actions and what your whole outward life is can just squelch everything in the kingdom of God. Right? You can say, "Oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe in power. I believe in miracles. I believe in the Son of God, but I want to go to the bar today." You see what I'm saying? You go into the bar, you put yourself in a position, the kingdom's not going to operate. It's like a husband and wife want to get their marriage together, but all they do is scream and holler at each other. Well, there ain't no place for the kingdom of God to operate. Or manipulation's in the middle of it. Hello. Hello. And they said, no, I'm believing for the kingdom of God to operate in my life. Shut up and sit down. What's the matter with you? Well, you're not putting yourself in a position for the kingdom of God to operate. Let's pray. You always pray so long. What are you talking about? See, automatically you're putting yourself in a position and it ain't going to work. Hello. You can do all this. Oh, I have faith that can move mountains. But then if you act and put yourself in a position of unbelief, then the kingdom's not going to operate. Right? It's like trying to plant flowers in just sand. Right? It ain't going to work. You can take a beautiful flower, but if you plant it in just sand, no fertilizer, no soil to it, it's just sand, it's not going to live. It can't live in that environment. The kingdom of heaven can't operate in an environment that you don't have it. It's not conducive to the kingdom of heaven. So what's conducive to the kingdom of heaven? Love. Love. True love. Huh? Right? Peace. Forgiveness. Self-control. Unless there's ice cream involved. Truth. Yeah, truth. There's lies going on. Hey, that's not something that the kingdom of God can grow in, right? You see, there's more to just saying, oh, I'm believing God. There's a whole lot more than just saying, oh, yeah, I'm believing God. Everything's going to be okay. But have you even lined yourself up in the position for heaven to operate in your life? Are you even got the principles of the kingdom operating in your life? And if you don't have the principles of the kingdom operating in life, the kingdom can't operate. You can be mad all day long that flower died in that sand pile you planted it, but it ain't going to change nothing. You have to change yourself. It's change your thinking to change your position in the kingdom. And Jesus said, man, I'm sitting here. I preach in the synagogue. I preach good. You were astounded. But yet offense came in. When offense came in, Jesus said, kingdom can't operate like this. There's no faith in here. Y'all have gotten all messed up. And I can't operate like this. And so therefore, the Son of God could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. They depositioned themselves. You follow me? There's a lot more to having the kingdom of God operate in your life than just saying, oh, I believe God. Oh, yeah, I know what the word says. You can know what the word says all day long, but if you don't apply it to your life, it ain't going to do no good. Let's go back up. He says, the kingdom of heaven, verse 47, is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind. Which when it was full, they drew to the shore and they sat down. They gathered the good into the vessels and threw the bad away. Jump over to verse 31. Let's go backwards. Another parable, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and he sowed in his field. Which is indeed the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is gathered into the herbs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Wouldn't it be great to have the kingdom of God operating in your life to such a degree that you had extra branches for people to come and get under the shade of the kingdom of your life and sit on the branches and get some rest and you could help them to understand how to develop the kingdom of God in their lives? Because that little faith that you had, that little mustard seed of faith, you planted it in your life and it grew up and finally, but you became a big, strong tree. You know, I taught a message a long time ago about growing grapes, how you grow grapes, and I did this study on grapes, and so I'm going to have another. I want to redo the message at some point. But this time I'm going to use coffee. Because I was learning about growing coffee in Guatemala this past week. And I was so shocked at the things I learned about coffee. But one of the most amazing things to me is that they graft coffee plants. Okay, you know how I saw my father, and I don't know a lot about grafting, but I remember he grafted peach trees. But they grafted peach trees when they were already big trees, you know? Like there was a big peach tree, and then they would go in there and they'd graft the limbs on that peach tree. But they were grafting coffee plants that were this tall. They had taken beans from their seed stock and planted those beans in the ground. Those beans had grown and sprouted, and they were about that tall. And, I mean, maybe the stem was maybe the size of the pen, the inside of this pen, the writing part, the little bitty thing, you know. Not even the size of a straw. Little bitty. And they took, because one type of coffee, there's only two types of coffee. One's robust and the other is Arabic. Arabica, there you go. Because it came from Arabia. Anyway, let me get this right. This is the point. I'm going to miss it if I don't go on. And the robust has strong roots, but the coffee's bitter. And the Arabica has very weak roots, but the coffee is the best. So they grafted the two. They used the root from the robust and the bean from the Arabica, and they grafted them. But Skip, they grafted them when they were like, I mean, literally the size of that pen. They were little bitty things. And so I was just thinking in my mind, how would they do that? He said they take a razor blade and they cut it and they split it and they point the other side and they put it down here and they took wax around it. And I said, wow, you know, like I'm thinking, because I'd have to have a magnifying pair of glasses to see how this would even be done. And he says that one worker does 1,100 a day. I said, do you know how stark raving mad I would have been at the end of a day trying to do 100? Spit that little thing and get that little thing and point it down there and get it down there and put some little wax around it and make the little thing. And then they had to put a little dill over there and they put it back in the plant in a little pot. And the miracle is that they only lose 15% of the grafts. I was thinking maybe you get 50%, you know, you'd be doing really good. Only 15% of the grafts. So then this plant grows, they take the root, and they put the, you know, then this got the strong root system, and then it grows up and it produces something else. Wouldn't it be glorious? And I was the guy was just speaking this to me, I was thinking to myself, isn't that just like us? God took this hard-headedness of our lives, the strong root, but then he grafts into us the mustard seed to grow to be a tree that we can be a blessing to everybody around us. Instead of being a curse to everybody around us, instead of being people that are self-centered and selfish and self-motivated, yet we become a tree that's just reaching out and it's got big branches and shade for everybody and we're just a blessing everywhere we go. And so I started praying and said, Lord, that's the kind of grafting I need in my life. Just go ahead and do it. I had no idea that all that took place. So, church, I don't know about you, but I want the kingdom of God in my life. I want to position myself in life so that the kingdom of heaven can operate in my life. Amen? And we've got to look down into those things in our life that need to be cut out and grafted in the godly things. Amen? So that our principles that we're operating in, we're there. And so when Jesus comes to our house, he doesn't have to say, well, I can do no mighty works here because there's no faith. But he comes in and says, now, man, I can flow here because this is the kind of principles that I can operate under. This is the kind of flow that I can move in. Amen? So let's check it out. Let's find that pearl of great price. Let's get those trees growing. Let's do some grafting. Amen? Praise God. You look at the person beside you and say, you can't imagine how hard it is to grow coffee. Always kind of thought I wanted to be like Juan Valdez. But after I learned a little bit about how they grow coffee, I was like, I don't think I want to have anything to do with this. I'll just drink it. Somebody else grow it. Amen?